Thank you. Hi, Om Vishnu Pad, Paramahansa, Parashivacharya. All Sutra, Satishi, Shima, His Divine Grace, Savaya, Chalanada Bhaktivananda Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, Jaya, ISKCON, Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, Jaya, Ananda Gopti, Vaishnava, Vrindavan, Jaya, Namacharya, Srila Haridas, Thakur, Jaya, Ren Se, Goho, Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Shri Dvaita, Gadadha, Shivasiddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrindagijai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaur Bhagavata Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Gaur Vrindam Kijai Vrindavaram Kijai Maturadam Kijai Jagadam Sami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shimani Galasi Devi Kijai Sambhita Bhakta Vrindagijai Gaur Vrindananda All glories. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. I'm going to read the translation of this Vaishnava poem. He who brought the treasure of divine love and was filled with compassion and mercy. Where is such a personality as Srinivasacharya gone? Where am I, Sarup Damodar Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatana? Where is Raghunath Das, the Savior of the Fallen? Where am I, Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishna Das Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against a rock and enter into fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga accompanied by all of these devotees whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So, Omagana Timidanda Shah Gadajana Shlakaya Chapsuna Miditam Yena Tasmai Shikadeva Maham. So, as I mentioned, today is the commemoration of the disappearance day of Gopalbhatta Goswami, so we're going to be speaking about him during this class time. So, of course, Gopalbhatta Goswami is known as the son of Venkata Bhatta, and his uncle is Prabhupada Saraswati. So the story goes as follows, that he appeared in a place called Sri Rangam. Sri Rangam is in South India, actually in Tamil Nadu. And this Sri Rangam is arranged very, very interestingly. That you have in the center portion, there's like concentric squares around the temple. So in the center portion, of course, the Vedas, obviously. And then it's actually on an isthmus, which is like an island. Isthmus means like a land surrounded by water with one little pathway to it. It's an isthmus. Okay, got it. Anyway, so the center is the temple, and then on around the first square is where the Brahmins live. The second square is where the Kshatriyas live. That's pretty easy to understand. Third square is where the Vaishyas live, and the fourth square is where the Shudras live. So, in other words, everyone is associated with and staying with people of the same varna. And actually, that's quite Vedic, because if you associate with people of a lower varna, that they tend to drag you down, as Krishna says in the Gita. Karnam Gunasangasha Sadasa Janma Jonishu, that one is entangled in this world because of Guna Sangha. So if you associate, let's say, Prabhupada said, if you go to a liquor store or bar or the French Quarter, then you become a drunkard, Prabhupada said. If you go to the stock market, you'll become a broker or something to start investing.
Is that arrangement for the town? Or
the town. That's the whole town. That is the town of Sri Rangam. There's a city right next to it called Trichy. But anyway, that's the town right there. And it's actually interesting. There's one story that had nothing to do with this. I just remember that Shamashinda told the story that one time he convinced Prabhupada to, maybe some of you remember the story, he convinced Prabhupada to invest in gold futures.
Yeah.
And then the story he tells is that Prabhupada was looking at, I guess, the ticker tape or whatever they call it, and just looking at the future. And Prabhupada said, this, after a while, he said, this is too much, you know, just sell it. And they doubled their money. But we shouldn't imitate like that. So, anyway, so that's the way the town is arranged. And to this day, you can actually go and visit the home of Venkata Bhatta. Has anyone been there?
We were there once on safari with my Guru Maharaj, and the family hosted us because we were with him.
Yeah, the family is still engaged in sort of preaching. It's an interesting story. When I went there, I talked to the family, and they said, oh, we're leaving right now to go to California. And I said, why are you going to California? And they said, well, our disciples are there. This is a little funny. And they said, I asked, who are your disciples? And they said, the Beach Boys. Some of you who are my age will understand who the Beach Boys were. Anyway, so it's interesting. Just an interesting little tidbit of information. So anyway, so this family was living there, Venkata Bhatta, Prabhananda, so it's what the Prabhananda. Lord Chaitanya happened to be visiting there during the 4 months of the rainy season. It's called the Chaturmasya period, which has actually already begun, in case you haven't figured that out. And the reason that sannyasis would stay in a particular place during the 4 months of the rainy season and execute austerities is because it was raining. That may come as a shock to you. But the rain in India literally pours cats and dogs when it rains. That's called the monsoon season. And so at that point, there weren't like paved roads or anything like that, or railroads or anything when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on the planet. So sannyasis had to stay in one place, and while they were staying in one place, they had to execute special austerities. That's the reason for the Chaturmasya austerities. You understand? That's the reason for it. Everything has a reason. And because if they didn't execute austerities, sannyasis staying in one place would start to get attached to different, maybe, you know, young girls or whatever, hopefully not, but at least to the amenities that they were being offered. So there were special austerities. In fact, some of the austerities are quite heavy, especially during the month of Kartik. Someone was just supposed to eat once a day, habisha, you know, unspiced self, and eat it like a duck. In other words, you put your hands behind your back. Anyone heard about this before? And then they go down and eat, you know, put your face in the food, I guess, and eat, and as soon as you come up, that's all you can eat for the whole day.
I've seen a devotee trying to do that.
You saw a devotee trying to do that?
Yeah, back around 1976
or 77. That's actually not Prabhupada's system.
Yeah.
Prabhupada's system is, you know, Kali Klara, Dharma, Krishna, Nama, Sangha, we should be preaching Krishna consciousness, and that was the teaching of Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur. Unfortunately, since Prabhupada left, the devotees had come up with all sorts of little, nice little austerities that Prabhupada and my disciple succession don't mention, like the Pamukkaniya Jala Ekadasi, which Prabhupada never followed, and it's not even mentioned by any of our acharyas. So, they come up with it, but anyway, that's not what this class is about. So Lord Chaitanya was staying there during the 4 months of the rainy season, and executing these austerities, and living in the house of Venkata Bhatta. And while he was in the house of Venkata Bhatta, used to have discussions with Venkata Bhatta about the Siddhanta, Siddhanta means perfect conclusion of Krishna consciousness. In other words, he was presenting the point, which is what the Bhagavatam talks about, Ete Chank Sokalak Bhunsa Krishna Subhagavan Swayam, that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vrindavan is the original abode, the most intimate pastimes, the most exalted pastimes happen in Braj. And he was having this discussion, perhaps even a little bit of an argument with Venkata Bhatta. And he said to Venkata Bhatta that you're worshipping this Lakshmi, not this Lakshmi, but Lakshmi, who is actually supposed to be the most chaste lady, yet she is executing austerities in order to associate with Krishna. So how is that chastity? And Venkata Bhatta, of course, understanding a part of the Siddhanta, he said that Krishna and Narayana are one, and of course their philosophy was that Krishna expands from Narayana, But our philosophy, based on Bhagavatam, is Ekachamsa-Palakkinsa-Krishna-Su-Bhagavan-Swayam, that Narayan is an expansion of Krishna. So he explained, Venkatabhata explained this, so it's the same person. Advaita Chuta Anadir Anantarupa Madhyam Puramad Purusham. So Lord Chaitanya said, yes, I understand that, but why is it, though, although Lakshmi is performing all these austerities for, you know, thousands or millions of years, she can't enter into Vrindavan? And Venkatabhata, Lord Chaitanya asked that question, Venkatabhata said, this bewilders me, I can't answer that question. And then Lord Chaitanya explained that because Lakshmi is attached to her opulent mode of worship. She's not attached to material opulence like you and I, but she's attached to the opulent mode of worship, you know, the mood of worshiping Krishna or Narayan in awe and reverence. And that mood of worshiping Krishna in awe and reverence actually keeps one from entering into Vrindavan. Of course, at this time, we should be worshiping Krishna in awe and reverence. But that's called Vaidhi Bhakti. But when one performs Vaidhi Bhakti after a certain period of time, when one develops the prerequisite for Raghunuga Bhakti, then one's interaction with the Lord becomes much more intimate. And what is the prerequisite for Raghunuga Bhakti? It's, of course, it follows strictly Vaidhi Bhakti, but it's called Lalya. Yeah, or lova. Lova and lova. Intense greed for attaining your spiritual identity. Intense greed means 24 hours a day. It doesn't mean, you know, just like right now, I want to be a gopi or something. Or I want to be a cow. Or I want to be whatever. Intense greed is like, always is like greedy. Just like a man and a woman, you know, they meet each other, very lusty, greedy, and everything like that. So that's the price. So Lakshmi is attached to the opulent mode of worship, and Lord Chaitanya explained this to Venkatabhata. And eventually changed Venkatabhata's opinion to the Gaudiya Vaishnava understanding, and also Prabhupada Saraswati, the uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He changed his mentality too. So Prabhupada Saraswati eventually went to Vrindavan and became one of the great was one of the great Vaishnavas in Vrindavan, who wrote some Vaishnava literature. So as far as Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he was 7 years old at this particular point. And he was engaged in serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very affectionate to him. He even put Gopal Bhatta on his lap and expressed, you know, great affection. And Gopal Bhatta was given the order before Lord Chaitanya left Srirangam. He gave him the order that you should stay here and serve your mother and father until they pass away. So that's an interesting order, which really contrasts with the instruction or understanding that Raghunath Das Goswami had with his parents. Raghunath Das Goswami's parents were described by Lord Chaitanya as being like worms in stool. They were devotees. But Lord Chaitanya described him as one of the stool. Of course, he was related to them too. He had a village relationship. Because in spite of understanding the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, they kept jumping back into the stool ditch of material enjoyments. And that's what a worm is. You take a worm out, and the worm is not going to be happy when you take him out of the stool. He's going to try to squirm his way back in. Can't jump. He'll squirm his way back in. So Lord Chaitanya described that because they were Vaishnava Praya. They were, let's say, almost Vaishnavas or Kanishtha Adhikaris. Kanishtha Adhikaris means, you know, you have great faith in Krishna, the deity, and you love to be in the temple, but outside, you know, all hell breaks loose. You don't see Krishna in everyone's heart. So, therefore, Lord Chaitanya was very pleased when Raghunath Das Goswami left home and he advised Gopal Bhatta to stay home until his parents passed away. So, eventually, his parents passed away and then he left and he joined, at this particular point, he didn't At this point, he went directly to Vrindavan. He didn't go to Jagannath Puri to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Rupa and Sanatan Goswami accepted him as their brother and gave him sannyas. And what happened is that before Gopal Bhakta Goswami came, Rupa Goswami had a dream. And in the dream, the deity of Govindaji, which is his deity, he installed. He found the deity, actually, and installed the deity in the Radha Govinda temple. The deity told him that I want Gopal Bhakta Goswami as my pujari. It's interesting. And so Gopal Bhakta Goswami, when he arrived there, he got trained up by Rupa Goswami, became the pujari initially in the Govindaji temple. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that Gopal Bhakta Goswami had arrived in Vrindavan, in Braj, what's that? Oh, this is a clock.
No, I think
it's a windjammer. Oh, windjammer. When, the sweet sound. I thought I was hearing the Braj sounds. You know, sometimes you hear a flute and you think, oh, Krishna's revealing himself to me now. So anyway, so he arrived there. After he arrived, Lord Chaitanya heard that he arrived, and Lord Chaitanya sent his kopina and outer garments and his seat for Gopal Bhakta Goswami to worship. So you see, Lord Chaitanya had so much affection for Gopal Bhakta, even though the last time he'd seen him, Gopal Bhakta Goswami, or Gopal Bhakta, was only 7 years old, just a little boy. Actually, there's many interesting stories in our Vaishnava literature how sages, they would cultivate sometimes little boys, and little boys become great followers of them later on when they got older. There's a story of Sripad Madhvacharya, who would go to his guru when he was like 3 or 4 years old, and his guru would always give him sweets. And so it's interesting, actually, when dealing with children, you don't force them to be Krishna conscious. Say, hey, wake up, change your rounds, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. As we have done in this time. You're supposed to deal with them with great affection, show a good example, be a good role model. So, anyway, so Madhvacharya got attached to his guru, so then when he was 7, he wanted to take sannyas. And his parents said, no, you can't take sannyas because we don't have any other son to take care of us in our old age. And so he said, well, I'll make a deal with you, Dad. If you have another son, can I take sannyas? And the father was thinking, you know, I'm not going to have another son because, you know, both the mother and father were quite old. They were in their late 40s. And so, lo and behold, they had another son. Madhvacharya, he just like headed out of home at 9 years of age and took sannyas. So you see this. These stories are there in many cases where you have this older sadhu, or in this case, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who cultivates a young child, and the young child becomes attached. Because it's natural for a young boy or a young girl to have role models that they love very much. Actually, Prabhupada even talks about this. He says that's natural for a young boy to love an older man like that who treats them very kindly. So sometimes devotees ask me the question, you know, how do we bring up Krishna children in Krishna consciousness? And my answer is, you have to have role models. Because people function on the basis of role models. I mean, for example, in my own case, my role model was Srila Prabhupada. Never wanted to join the Hare Krishna movement until I met Prabhupada. Because, I mean, I didn't have that role model. Yeah, and joining the Krishna consciousness movement presented a whole bunch of austerities to me, like shaving the head, wearing bed sheets and things like that, that I would never have done had I not wanted to emulate my role model, Srila Prabhupada. So, anyway, so Gopal Bhakta Goswami received these items from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he had the inspiration to worship some Shalagram Shilas. So he went to what is now Nepal, and went to the Gandaki River. And he got 12 Shilas from the Gandaki River, began to worship them. But then he felt great humility. It's not like some devotees today, you know, just collect like thousands of shilas and things, and without their spiritual master's permission, and, you know, don't have the adhikar. And even you go on eBay, you can buy Shalaram shilas. The people couldn't worship anymore. You know, so one has to be very careful. They're very high standard worship. So he was feeling himself unqualified even after he got the 12 Shalaram shilas. So he went back to the Gandaki River and said, I'm not qualified. Put them back in the river. And guess what? They jumped back up into his hands. And put them back again. And jumped back up into his hands. So he said, well, I guess Krishna wants me to worship him in that form. So he brought these shilas back to Vrindavan. And he was worshipping them, but he was also observing the worship that the other Goswamis of Vrindavan were doing for their deities, you know, three-dimensional deities with... I mean, Shalaram Shiva is not different than Krishna, and those who have spiritual vision can see that. However, he wanted to dress them like everybody else was dressing their deities, because previously he had dressed Radha Govinda, and so he was an expert, dresser expert, pujari. So he was lamenting, and then one rich man gave him a whole bunch of cloth to make clothes for his deities. And so, you know, really like got him at that point. And he's thinking, what am I going to do? Next morning he wakes up, and the Damodar Shila became Radharaman. And this is an amazing story. And of course, there's Radharaman deities there still today. And you see the Radharaman deity in the back, you see the actual part of the Shila on the back of the deity. And Prabhupada said the temple, the Radharaman temple, has the highest standard of deity worship in Vrindavan. We can learn from that. And many other temples have neglected the deities. I mean, there's stories, you go into the temple and there's dust all over the deity because the deity hasn't been taken care of for some time. And of course, if you don't take care of the deity for some time, Krishna leaves. Prabhupada actually said that. He said that I was in Prabhupada's room one time, and a group of devotees had just come from a temple where they were not received properly, and they began to describe to Prabhupada the deity there, and Prabhupada said there was no deity in that temple. And the devotees argued with Prabhupada, not heavy argument. They said, Prabhupada, we saw the deity. And Prabhupada said, you heard what I said. There's no deity. And then Prabhupada gave that famous Bengali quote that it's like using the Shalaram Shila to crack nuts with. And so devotees understood Krishna can leave just like he comes of his own free will. So, anyway, so Gopalbhatta Goswami was thinking about, you know, who should we have as a pujari, succession. So we were talking to Yogendra yesterday about succession, you know, who takes over in the future. So what happened is one day a Brahmin came to Gopalbhatta Goswami and he said, Gopalbhatta Goswami, give me blessings. Gopalbhatta Goswami said, what blessings do you want? And the Brahmin said, I want a son, I don't have any son. And so the Brahmin asked this, you know, very vehemently, with tears in his eyes, and Gopalbhatta Goswami said, okay, I bless you to have a son. And the Brahmin said, okay, because you're blessing me, I will give you my first son. Pretty nice. So 10 years later, Gopalbhatta Goswami was in his bhajan, Kutir, chanting Hare Krishna, and a 10-year-old boy, or around a 10-year-old boy, came to serve him. And he said, who are you? And he said, I am the son of that Brahmin. And I've come to do deity worship and serve you for the rest of my life. That's pretty nice. And that person was named Gopinath Pujari Goswami. Mm-hmm. And he served Brother Raman for the rest of his life. And his younger brother also took initiation. So don't go to a sannyasi and ask for blessings for a son, because you may take the son away. So the younger brother also took initiation and serve the deities, and their descendants continue to serve the deities to this day. Because the younger brother was actually got married, the older brother didn't. So one time, Gopalbhatta Goswami was worshipping the deity of Radharaman, and Radharaman appeared to him as Chaitanya.